Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Tuesday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great service department. It's open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. Each and every day during this COVID-19 outbreak, they are still there for you. So make sure you check out that service department at Sunbury Motors. And Steve will soon be coming up from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Another big show planned here for today. Late guest we just got on for this afternoon at 4:35 to get you ready for the NFL draft next week. A week from Thursday will be the first round of the NFL draft, as Steve and I started talking about yesterday. And we'll have former ESPN NFL insider John Clayton join us at 4:35 today. That professor, of course, everybody knows him too from the This Is SportsCenter commercial, which we may or may not play a little bit later on before he comes on. But he'll be on today, 4:35 today, with Steve to get ready for the NFL draft next week to see what he's hearing about a week out before we start the NFL draft process. Then tomorrow, during the 4 o'clock hour, we have an entire football power hour. Sal Palantonio, ESPN's preeminent NFL reporter, will join us at 4:06 once again. He'll be covering the Eagles, he'll be covering the Giants, the Ravens, and the Jets for ESPN NFL Network's draft broadcast throughout the weekend. So looking forward to having Sal Pal back on with us tomorrow at 4:06. And then Charlie Casserly from the NFL Network will join us as well. Of course, former Redskins GM, he'll join us at 4:35 to get his take on this year's class, and we'll get into some Eagles and Steelers talk too on what he recommends for both teams and draft needs and things like that. So tomorrow during the 4 o'clock hour, if you've been dying for some football talk, especially getting ready for the draft next week, you're definitely going to want to listen then, because that is going to be a very, very fun hour having Sal Pal and Charlie join us. And as far as things go for the NFL, Eagles side of things, of course, receivers a big need, Steve, and Steelers too. We're looking at that as well in defense. So,
yeah. My apologies. I was on the phone with Mr. Ham, so that's my fault. I actually was here, but Mr. Ham and I were having a rather involved conversation. So, no, we were. It was very involved. So
will he be on the broadcast with you for the Blue-White virtual tailgate, which has now been made official?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because we never talked about that.
Okay.
We actually didn't talk about that.
Because it'll be you and Coach Franklin, of course.
Right. He's definitely going to be on for part of the show. I'd say the second half of the show he's on, I think. So that'd be from the 2 to 2:30 part. But Jack had a bad storm roll through. I mean, he had some trees in his yard, came down. He has several trees in his yard. He says to me, you hear the chainsaw in the background? I says, yeah. So, and he's explaining to me. And he says to me, he says, now, I said, you know how my property's set up. He says, you've been here many times for my free drinks. I said, yes, I'm well aware. I said, my two favorite four-letter words are free and cash. so, So neither one of us has lost our sense of humor over this along the way. We have not had that happen yet. But obviously the two of us were obviously aching to get back to doing football this week and broadcasting the blue-white game, which, of course, is impossible in the current situation. Although we did agree that we thought, you got to look for positives. Jack says to me, he says, I haven't seen Moeller in weeks. I said, yeah, neither have I. He says, we have to look at the positives. And, of course, I'll call Mole Man tomorrow about that. I actually did talk for a while with Tom Bradley today from the Steelers. Talked with him this morning for about 45 minutes. And of course, I just talked to Jack. And I want to congratulate, and I've already congratulated him anyway, but my good friend Johnny Holiday, 41 seasons at Maryland, with a 42nd, by the way, coming up, just won the Woody Durham Award for his great, great lifetime achievement of basketball work. So, and how I feel about Johnny. So, I texted Johnny this morning, and Johnny texted me back, and he says, I've got to give you a call. He says, because you and I need to laugh for an hour, which is what we do. Before the Big Ten tournament, did I tell you about that call?
I don't think so, no.
The week of the Big Ten tournament, the bracket comes out. So we're looking at the bracket. And, the first thing I see is, all right, Penn State's going to play the Indiana-Nebraska winner. And if Penn State wins, they're going to play Maryland. Now, I need to do that because I was trying to prep. And, in fact, if you were to look at my basketball briefcase right now, you would see in there I've got charts for Indiana, Nebraska, and Maryland in there because you want to be prepared for everything. Cuts down the amount of work once you're physically there. Well, the bracket comes out. And I get this call on Monday night. Or no, it was Tuesday night. Yeah, it was Tuesday night. I get a call. And I wasn't there to get it, and it was a message. I hear, Mr. Jones, this is Johnny Holiday. He says, calling you. He says, requesting an appearance by you to call me back. He says, I'm going to give you my cell number. I don't give out my cell number to everybody. I hesitate to do it with you. He's just going on. I called him back in 2 minutes. And we talked for an hour. And all we did for an hour was laugh. And Johnny and I were going to have breakfast Friday morning in Indianapolis. But, of course, at that point, I was already back Thursday night. And then, of course, I did the show here live Friday. So, but you want to talk about it. Don Fisher of Indiana won it last year, and Johnny won it this year. And you can't ask for two more deserving guys to get it. Don just finished up his 47th year doing Indiana basketball and football. And Johnny just finished his 41st year doing Maryland football and basketball. And you probably have not met them in person. Have you met?
I have not. I've not had the privilege.
And I say this with all due respect to both of them. Number one, and this fits with both, Johnny and Don both look like they're in their 50s, and they both sound like they're in their 50s. I mean, I'm not going to get into what their respective ages are, but I mean as a great compliment to both of them. They're great guys who are great pros, and as you could tell, over the years become. I mean, Don and I were going to get together with Paul Keels, Gary Dolphin, Matt LePay. Gary does Iowa. Matt does Wisconsin. We're trying to convince Dave Ennett of Northwestern to do it. We're going to do this golf outing in May together. And I couldn't wait to go. It was going to be a lot of fun because I genuinely like these guys. And that's one thing about this conference. And I'm trying to think what I was on. I think I was on, it was on SiriusXM. I was talking about this. And the conversation shifted to broadcasters. In fact, I'll tell you, when I was on, the day I was on SiriusXM talking about this, I was at Penn's Tavern. And we were there to do the show with Keith Conlon, Shane Conlon, Trey Bauer for last year's Purdy tournament. And after the show was over with, remember I had to duck away for 15, 20 minutes? And that's because I was on SiriusXM being interviewed. And the subject of the broadcasters came up. And I said, that's one of the great things about this league is that we have absolutely great broadcasters in this league, and that's because I mentioned SiriusXM. Well, with SiriusXM, we can hear each other. Right? I can get the car. I can listen to an Iowa basketball game, Minnesota football game, whatever. I can hear, so you get to hear everybody now. And that's been the case for the last 15 years, which is great. Before that, you really couldn't. I mean, really, what we now do as broadcasters on the radio side, because of SiriusXM, is now national, is regional and national all at the same time. And I said, when you look at, Mike Grimm of Minnesota, Matt LePay at Wisconsin, Greg Sharp and Kent Pavelka, because Greg does football and Kent does basketball at Nebraska, and Dave Ennett at Northwestern, and Brian Barnhart at Illinois, and Gary Dolphin at Iowa, Paul Keels at Ohio State, Don Fisher at Indiana. Now you got now Rob Blackburn's not doing it, but Larry Clisby before that at Purdue, and Tim Newton doing football at Purdue. Right? And then you go to George Blaha doing football at Michigan State, and Will Tiemann doing basketball at Michigan State. And you've got at Michigan, they've changed up the new basketball guy. Brian is terrific. He's just a great guy. He's a great guy. And Jim Brandstetter, Brandy doing football with Dan Dierdorf. I mentioned Keels and Jimmy Lachey doing Ohio State. Johnny down at Maryland. And Chris Carlin over at Rutgers. I said, what's great about this league is you've got really great announcers in this league that are just great guys. Like, you just like being around them. There's nobody in the league you don't like being around. You like being around them. That's why when it comes time to try and, when they try to put together these little outings in the off season, get everybody together, because everybody likes being around each other. I mean, everybody likes being around each other. I mean, Mike Grimm, Matt LePay, Dave Ennett, you want to talk about, how I often talk about the no ego guys? Like, Jack Ham has no ego. Dick Girardi has no ego. Man, that makes all the difference in the world. When you got people that are just really good, they're just down to earth people. Paul Keels, I get Paul all the time. If I'm casting a play and I need the voice of God, I want to get him. I mean, Frank Beckman was like that at Michigan before Brandy got the job. And Beckman was there for 25 years. And Beckman, you always hear Chris Fowler do the impersonation of Michigan football, and that was Bob Ufer. Well, Bob Ufer was the play-by-play guy for Michigan for 30-plus years, and then Frank took his place, and Frank did it for, 28 years. They had only two play-by-play guys for 55 years. 60 years. Two play-by-play guys. That's it. For 60 years at Michigan. And I never... And you know what? The first few years I was doing this, I didn't really know Frank. And then one day, they said, hey, We were it was at Michigan. I think it was like 2006, I think. And they said, hey, could you do the pregame show? You know, we'll take you over in a golf cart, and, you know, Frank's out there. And I said, sure, I'll do it. I really hadn't talked to Frank. You know, all those years, I just, for whatever reason, I don't know why, and it's probably my fault. All right? And the two of us sat there and traded stories for an hour on this show. And then after that, you know, you become, like, fast friends with people. These are the kind of people that, like Matt and I deal with all the time. I mean, these are the kind of people we deal with. They're great people to deal with that really are good at what they do. So for Johnny, I mean, Don got it last year, and I remember I got a hold of Don, and, you know, and you talk about worthy. And then Johnny to get it. And I was around Woody Durham a few times in his career. And Woody Durham, great announcer, classy, classy guy. And, of course, you know I'm been friends over the years with his son, Wes. We now, you know, I mean, first time I met Wes, Wes was doing Marshall basketball. And then the next time I run into Wes, he's doing Vanderbilt basketball. Then the next time I run into Wes, he was doing Georgia Tech. Well, now he does the Falcons and he does ACC Network and things like that. Wes is an awesome guy. Great announcer, better person. So, yeah, these are the kind of people that we run into in this profession. Just really, really terrific people. Just like Steve Williams, just like the Chief, like Matt, Sean. I'm trying to think, am I leaving anybody out? Right? Oh, we love him too. I can't believe it. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors Service Department open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Outstanding work that they do there. By the way, third consecutive day here in Center County where the number has been 70 and has not moved. Okay? That's a good sign. And Matt, you were telling me that in the Valley, also some good signs in that regard.
Yeah, not bad today. Northumberland County was the big one at plus 8 from yesterday. They're at 48 now, but Union and Steiner only had a handful. Same with Montour, so we're doing pretty good. Only 1,300 yesterday, only 1,100 today. So, from the overall standpoint, so I think we might be looking on the up here.
This is what we're all hoping for. This is what we're all hoping for. Whatever we can do. Any news? Because car dealerships wanted permission to start sales again in Pennsylvania.
Correct. Yeah, that legislation is still being worked on today. We'll actually have a story about that in our late day news roundup when we're done.
Get it done. Come on.
Right.
No, I'm sure. I'll give you. Here's a reason why. Can I tell you a reason why?
Yeah.
There was a woman in our area here, and part of her job medically was to go house to house. And the day before the shutdown, she got into an accident. She needs a new car. She can't get a new car. I mean, you still need transportation. Just basic transportation for anything, including an emergency. I'm just saying, okay? I'm not trying to get in the way of anybody here, but to me it makes sense. That's just me. All right. Okay. Jaywan Sider, Penn State running backs coach. Boy, has he done a great job with the running backs and in recruiting. He had a chance to talk with the media today, starting with this question from a person who's been a frequent guest on this show, Greg Pickle from PennLive.com.
Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
Morning, Greg.
Morning. Hey, I'm just curious what you saw from the guys during winter workouts, sort of who stepped up into that leadership role during the time that you guys were all on campus, and what development you maybe saw from some of the guys like Noah Kane and Devin Ford, who saw time last year, but maybe not as much as the guy like Journey Brown.
Well, I think they all got the mentality that, you know, we got to do better than what we did last year. So how do we get better? You know, because what I did last year don't matter this year. So, you know, we talked about pushing each other physically, mentally, learn how to prepare different, you know, to have a target on your back. Because last year you supposed to be the weak link. Now everybody going to look at you as one of the better groups in the country. So what are you going to do to get better? And, you know, we did a great job in winning condition, pairing them up differently every day. Hey, this skill set may be better for this player, but that player. But learn how to push yourself. You know, I thought was really was cool was, you know, all them guys pushing themselves to run with Journey. You know, been to try to compete and beat him in some of the sprint drills. You know, just different things to compete to get that competitive nature going.
Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle.
Hey, Jaron, thanks for your time today. I hope you're well.
You too, Rich.
Can you tell me what you think Journey's performance in the Cotton Bowl can do for him going forward? And also, as a follow-up, what can Noah Kane's performance in the bowl game do for him?
I think confidence, you know, that you feel like you can do against anybody. I'll go back from Journey, you know, Minnesota game. I mean, played his tail off. And then what he did to Ohio State in the second half was probably as impressive as anybody in the country. I will say this, the last four or five games, and I know I'm biased, but I thought Journey Brown was playing as good as any running back in the country. I mean, he got freakish athletic ability and strength that, you know, he's finally starting to tap into it. I think the thing that I was so impressed in the bowl game is trying to finally get him to play as fast as he is. You know, I thought he finally starting to trust his track speed to football now. The way he separated on that one run, what, 50, 60-yard run. I mean, that's what I've been trying to bring out of him the last couple of years, and I think now he sees it. I think he carried that over into winning condition. As far as Noah, he never lacks confidence. You know, it was him just getting healthy, you know, being back the guy that we saw early in the year, you know. You get those nicks, you know, and muscles – sometimes they take a long time to heal. You know, it just took a process, especially with a kid who's powerful he is and running the way he does. And, you know, it just took a time to get healed. And I think getting him back in the bowl game, you know, got his confidence back. You know, I think those two guys are going to do a great job going forward. But also be cautious. Don't count out Devin Ford. I mean, he's a kid that he is one of those physically gifted kids. I think he's a kid that, you know, you're going to see – a whole nother level of Devin going forward. I think he's a kid who for the first time probably was, you know, like all freshmen, enjoying college a little bit too much. Not saying he was partying, but just, you know, that much freedom. You know, I think it happened easy to him early, and he forgot that you got to do it every week. Well, those kids just kept escalating, getting better throughout the process. So I think he had a great winning condition. I'm really excited about him. I view all three of those guys in my mind as starters right now.
Next up is, let's do Bob Flounders, Harrisburg. Hold on, Bob. Having a slight technical difficulty here. All right, go ahead.
Hey, Juwan, thanks for your time.
You too, Bob.
Just to follow up on Devin, I think he kind of gets overlooked because I know you get asked a lot about Journey and Noah. It sounds like you think a lot of him. What would you say his ceiling is, and what do you expect from him maybe in year two? What does he kind of bring to the room? Is he different than those guys? And how big of a gap maybe is there between Devin and the rest? Or is there a gap at all?
I don't think the gap's far. I think this kid is so physically gifted, man. He got the best hips I ever seen out of a player. I mean, he can sink his hips and explode through the smallest crease. I mean, to him, it was getting bigger. This winning condition was huge. I mean, this is the first time he had one where a guy like Noah came in and had a winning condition. Journey had multiple. I think him getting stronger to be able to take on blitz. I think, you know, just all those stuff that you like to see out of a young player go through, he finally got that to this winning condition. You know, suck it kind of taken away from him, but we understand that situation. But I'm excited. I think he's going to get faster. I think, you know, he can be a problem matching up, you know, with linebackers in coverage. I think he's going to play football for a long time, in my opinion.
Mark Brennan, Lions 247.
What can you tell us about Kozaiah? I know you didn't have an awful lot of chance to work with him, but you had some. And then how difficult do you think this is for him not having the opportunity to play in spring ball when, you know, he kind of came out of high school early? You know, I think that was one of his sole purposes or one of his primary purposes for doing it.
Well, I think the best thing I can explain is he got over the homesickness, you know, because a lot of times we take for granted when you bring these mid-year kids in, that is easy. That's the hardest part because they come in January and most of the coaches on the road recruiting, so he didn't get to see the same faces that are recruiting. And I think him battling through January to get to February, which is the hardest time when a condition beta go through early struggles, it build character for the kid. And I think we did enough that he got pieces of it, you know, with our meetings and our walkthrough, so he can kind of feel like, you know what, I belong here, you know. I use him as an example. Like the last part of winning condition, I saw a kid who was shy, sitting back, and then I paired him up with Journey because he got that type of speed, and it was impressive watching them two doing shuttle run versus each other and sprint versus each other, where Journey had a look over one time and said, man, this kid can run. He pushed him. So, you know, now he understands, you know what, I can play on this level. So I'm excited to watch him go forward. You know, he does a great job in our Zoom meetings that we have throughout the week of retaining stuff that we put in early. So, you know, he's another kid who's going to be, I think, going to be extremely talented with a talented room. And I think he'll get better because the guys he's in the room with.
Next up is Mike Gross, Lancaster.
Hi, Coach. Thanks for coming today. What have you learned about your guys, and what have you learned about maybe your own ability to coach and teach from this remote learning stuff that you've had to do?
I learned this, that we all can evolve. You know, there's some things out there in life that's bigger than football, and we all going through it, and this shall pass. But it shouldn't slow us down. It shouldn't slow us down being a human, to having still interaction where it's about football, about life. You know, we always preach family, and I think it's more prevalent now than ever to be able to get on FaceTime with our guys, get on Zoom with our guys. And I'm a little different. I'm not just going to talk ball. I want to make sure they're in a good place, because this whole corona is affecting all of us in different, you know, aspects of our life, you know. And for a lot of times, we're not in control when those kids home. You know, they got stuff they have to do with their parents. So just trying to keep them engaged and try to take their mind off different things, because, like I said, we're all affected by this in different ways. So it's been great. I mean, our guys was already using Zoom from school. So, hell, they taught me how to use some stuff. So it's been great, you know, and also let you know you can work from home. You know, you don't have to sit in the office all day and still be able to be functioning, you know, with install and then learning and getting better.
John Patishnock, happyvalley.com.
Hey, good morning, Jaywan. Appreciate the time and hope you're doing well.
You too, brother.
Hey, how would you describe James's leadership, and how has he kept the program moving forward during this time when everyone is staying at home and is coaching and is learning remotely?
I mean, I always think, you know, Coach always been a guy who could, you know, to push the envelope to get better. You know, if you stand status quo, you're not getting better. So, you know, we all learn together how we can work remotely. You know, we still have our staff meetings in the morning. You know, anything that need to be talked about, we all talked about. And the thing I love about Coach is everybody have a voice. You know, everybody have a slot where you can say what you need to say, you know, whether we all agree with it or not agree with it. But any day when we leave that meeting, we all agree with it. So I respect the hell out of Coach for that, because you've been some places it's a dictatorship and it's one way being done. I got a number of respect for Coach. I mean, the way he developed leadership throughout the program, not only just from the players, but his coaches. You know, when he said he wants what's best for his staff, he really means that. And I think he's an unbelievable person to be up under, to learn, you know, if you ever want to be a head coach, and how to lead a program. I mean, it's not by chance where we at. And I think a lot of that is credit to Coach Franklin.
Next up, Audrey Snyder, The Athletic.
Hey, Jaywon, thanks for your time this morning.
You too, Audrey.
A little bit different note here, but I'm just kind of wondering, you know, if you look at the way that recruiting's changed over time, obviously you guys aren't able to get out on the road right now, missing that spring evaluation period. We'll see what happens with camps, but is this a time where you guys maybe can buy into huddle highlights a little bit more than usual, or do you have to kind of be cautious with some of that? Because I know James has said before, anybody can look pretty good on a, you know, a short amount of highlights.
I'll say this. I think what helped, like, one thing that helped us is we signed our whole class in December. So a lot of us were able to get on the road in January and basically do area and position recruit. At least I did. So I got a chance to see a lot of these kids up close to match their film. I think the biggest thing for me, I'm a big guy. I don't like to sign off on a kid unless I see him live, you know, practice or game, because I want to see how he compete when it's tough. So it hurts you a little bit on that aspect. But you know what? I do think you have to value film. You know, that the honest guy don't lie. And then you find out what type of competition the kid playing, because I think now you can match both of them together. But I like some people, I don't know how you do not value game film. Like, that matters. That you can see so much in a film on why you should recruit a kid and why you should not recruit a kid, in my opinion.
Next up is Donnie Collins, Times Tribune.
Hey, Jaywon, thanks for doing this today.
No problem.
What's it been like getting to know Kirk the last couple of months? What is his experience, you know, with kind of coaching every position on the offense? You know, how's that kind of helped toward, you know, getting you guys to the next level?
I mean, with Kirk, he's just an old ball coach. I mean, all he want to do is coach ball. He's a guy full of a lot of knowledge. I'm sure, you know, he came in the same way, open-minded. You know, he came in and this is not just going to be what we did at Minnesota, what you guys did at Penn State. I mean, he was willing to put a playbook together that made sense for all of us. You know, we all had an opinion. We all had pieces in it, and that's a lot of credit to Kurt and not being an ego guy. I mean, he's an unbelievable man. I think his structure, how he's going to go about details and being precise on everything is going to be really, really impressive going forward for us and getting these kids to play at a high speed. You know, I feel like, you know, what we installed early in the carryover, we could have went out there and practiced right now with our kids being off campus, because how detailed we've left coming out of those meetings and having Kurt around in January, you know, in December in the bowl game was huge. He got a chance to evaluate the roster to see the strength and weakness and what we can get better at. So, I mean, he's a great guy to work for. Like I said, a humble dude, you know, not one of them ego guys, you know, mad scientist. If he is, he's at least high in it. But he's great to work for. You know, he, like you said, he coached every position, so he can see it, you know, whether from upfront blocking, which is always key, to routes being on time, and quarterback being precision with their drops and getting rid of the ball on time. So I think it's going to be great for us going forward.
Next up is Tyler Donahue, Lions 247.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for the time.
Anytime, Tom.
You just signed back-to-back years, a couple four-star running back recruits. Obviously, the crowded room has been talked about quite a bit. How do you go about recruiting guys to follow up those couple classes right now? And also, just kind of playing off that last class, Kevon Lee, you haven't had a chance to really talk to us about him to this point. What kind of dynamics does he bring in to that room for you guys in 2020?
Well, I don't really like to talk about the kids till they get here. You know, I think he'll be a kid that fit our room. I mean, he's built the right way. I mean, he's going to be an unbelievable big kid with, you know, great football movements. So, you know, until we get him here, you know, I like to withhold a little bit on him. I think, you know, filling our room, you know, we have a great culture here at the running back position. You know, if you're a running back, why wouldn't you want to come to Penn State? You know, everybody said, well, you signed two this year, you signed two last year. You know what? The teams that win every year, they're doing the same thing. And anywhere you go, you're going to have to compete. You know, and I think we'll look different here, and I think some other programs will look different, where you sign these kids, you know, in pairs, on the last couple of years, but you also, you know, these kids leaving school early, and the guys we recruiting going to be high level guys. You know, you're going to be making decisions with kids leaving after their junior year. You know, you hope to get them to their senior year, but you have to have depth. You know, when I came in here, you know, we was riddled with the depth problem. You know, we had Mark Allen who was leaving, JT was leaving, you know, Miles left early, and we into a position where we lost three guys in 1 year. You know, if we didn't sign Noah and Devin, we'd have been in trouble going forward, because nobody, you know, I didn't even see, and I knew Journey had potential, but I didn't see him developing the way he has until, you know, we actually got on the field. So I just think you have to protect yourself a little bit, especially when the climate where it's easy for kids to quit and transfer now instead of fight sometimes. So you got to protect yourself a little bit in that way too.
Jaywan Sider, we'll have more with him in the next half hour. And John Clayton at 4:35. Again, we've had a lot of requests on the website for pictures of Matt's kid. I've got 200 of them that Matt sent me to choose from.
I'll have to retweet those photos on the station Twitter page.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's. Man, I regret now getting you that iPhone for Christmas. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Jaywan Sider in the next half hour. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott not facing charges, nor will he be disciplined after an alleged party took place last week at his residence that reportedly crossed social distancing boundaries. Images of a crowded home, including photos of Zeke Elliott, emerged on social media. Well, the police went there, and when they went there, there was only Dak Prescott. So they just gave him a warning. Now, the only person that we knew that might have been at the party, the suit, evidently went out a back door. I don't know. I mean, are you surprised the suit was involved in that kind of? I mean,
no.
He kind of runs with this crowd. I mean, to be honest with you, it's like dealing with, quote, his people. You know, big star. You're-